Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, and welcome to Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta, and today I'm going to talk about in this episode tips and trends for 2018 and beyond, although it's hard to know how far beyond, right? So I rarely do episodes like this that are kind of topical in this way. I try to keep things as current as possible and or as evergreen as possible, I should say. But I thought I would share this with you because I've been getting a lot of questions from some of the clients that I work with about what's working out there. How do I get my voice out in a bigger way? You know, what are some of the things I can do? And of course, you know, I encourage you to go back to any of the episodes and take a listen. And, you know, I think that there's some really great stuff, both from guests that we've had on and, of course, you know, stuff that I've shared that I've learned along the way. But I wanted to share with you some of the common themes that I've seen. If you're thinking about, you know, how do I, you know, one of the common themes is how do I get out there in a bigger way? How do I expand my voice? How do I get my content out in the world and really make it, you know, really get it out to the people that need to hear it the most? So a couple of things that I want to share with you. Obviously, as you know, I believe that podcasting still is a very, very powerful way to get your message out. But you need to use podcasting in conjunction with other methods. So certainly if somebody said to me, you know, what's something that I could do to be a thought leader, to connect with others, certainly podcasting would be at the top of that list or near the top of that list, because you know, when people can hear your voice, when they can listen to you on a regular basis, it creates a certain connection. But I'm going to talk about it. What I'm talking about now really is even more so assuming that maybe you already have a podcast or you have a blog or you have other things. But the question is, anyone can start a website now, right? It's not that difficult. You can go to Wix or some of these other WordPress or some of these other website builders and either create a website or have a website created for you. That isn't really the challenge, right? The challenge now is how do you get people to notice you? So one of the things, the first one I want to share with you is definitely about live streaming and the power of live streaming. So for those of you that have, you know, if you're on Facebook, and I would assume that most of you are on Facebook, you know, if you're listening to this right now, there's a really good chance that you're on Facebook. I would encourage you to create a Facebook page for your, for whatever your business is, right? So I have one client who has a podcast called Living with Lyme, and she has a Facebook group called Living with Lyme. And one of the things we're doing is working on building up, doing a likes campaign on Facebook to get more people to visit that page, to like the page. And the idea is that, you know, you expand and build your social media presence, build this Facebook page up as much as you can. And you can do some live streams there. They don't have to be very long. You could do 30-minute live streams. I mean, I do have clients who do 30-minute to an hour long, but you know, you could even do live streams that are a few minutes. And for those of you that are not sure what I'm talking about, you know, what I mean by live streaming is video that streams live over Facebook. And what's nice about that is it'll send it out to your followers. And afterwards, you could even boost that. You could boost it on your Facebook page so that it gets out to the most people. And the reality is that what I find is, you know, most people are not listening live. In fact, you know, most people are actually listening after the fact. And so what's great is that as soon as you're done streaming live, people can actually continue to watch the video afterwards. But I think live streaming is something that's not going to go away. I think some of the nice things about it, you know, it used to be that video was this, you know, when video first started, there was this way of making highly produced videos that might be very expensive to make and very time consuming. And there's still a place for those types of videos, you know, highly professional videos that are done by videographers. Again, you know, still a time and a place for that. But live streaming is really, it's kind of like just dropping in on your community. You don't need to, you know, you definitely want to make sure that you have, you know, decent audio. If you have a podcast mic, use your podcast mic. If you, you know, you want to make sure that you have good lighting. But overall, I mean, you can do this yourself. You don't need to hire someone to do live streaming. You just need a webcam, or you can even do it from your phone. And I started doing live streaming back in when Periscope first came on and some of the other live streaming things. And I've been doing it ever since. I probably do more live streaming for my clients now than I do personally. I should definitely, one of my intentions is to get back to the live streaming. But it is a really powerful way to build an audience and to build a relationship with your audience, because people can see you, they can hear you, it's very informal. And in fact, I think some of those highly professionalized videos actually can backfire. And the reason I say that is because if you think about someone that makes a video that looks like it costs $10,000 to produce, what you're probably thinking, you're probably not thinking, you know, boy, that person really, I just trust them so much. You're thinking, wow, how did that person have all that money to produce this video? And you're going to start noticing and thinking about the video quality rather than thinking about the content. And my feeling about about quality for live streaming is get the quality good enough that no one's thinking about the quality. That's sort of my thing about podcasting as well. You know, you don't want people to be thinking, well, this podcast sounds so good. You want people to be thinking about the content that you're actually sharing and not focusing on any of the technical stuff whatsoever. So that's definitely one of the things that I see for 2018. Certainly was a trend in 2017, but I definitely think in 2018 and beyond, it's going to continue to be an important way to get your voice out there. And again, what's nice is if you're on Facebook and you're doing, you know, Facebook live streaming, and you want to get out and reach more people, you can do a likes campaign and continue to build your page. And then you can even boost that afterwards and you can send it out to more and more people. So it's a consistently reliable way that you could reach more and more people. And you can even sort of control it, because as you build the likes and as you boost it, you will absolutely reach more people. So definitely encourage you to do that. The other thing I think that I'm seeing more and more is, it's interesting because I see so much has changed in the last 10 years since I started podcasting. You know, it's just been just about 10 years now. And when I think about when I first started, there was so much less noise out there. You know, we talk a lot about that idea of getting heard above the noise and standing out and being heard. But truly there was. I mean, there were less podcasts. There were less people, I think, you know, even when people were online, they were sharing less. And now it just feels like there's more noise. You know, part of that maybe just also there's more social media platforms. So I don't know about you, but I have to check Snapchat. I have to check Instagram. I have to check Facebook. There's so many different social media platforms that I'm constantly checking throughout the day. And, you know, all of them are integral to getting my message out. But what I would say is, you know, one of the things that I'm noticing is that we do need to be out there, you know, multiple times a day, getting our message out in front of people. And I'm not talking about spamming people, right? I'm not talking about being one of those annoying people who is constantly, you know, look at my ebook, look at my ebook, look at my ebook. But what I am saying is we have to find unique and interesting ways to continue to follow up with people. And what's really funny is I hear people say things like, well, I don't want to bother someone. You know, I've already shared this. But the reality is we're so busy and there's so much going on in the world today that most people will not even have seen what you shared the first time. You know, your biggest problem isn't going to be, for the most part, unless you, like I said, unless you go crazy and you're just constantly spamming people, your problem isn't going to be that people are seeing you too much. Your problem is going to be that they're not seeing you enough. And we're so busy and so caught up in all the things that we're doing in the world and all the things that we have going on that we just don't seem to notice. And so what does that mean? What it means is I would definitely encourage you to use a platform like Hootsuite or Buffer or Meet Edgar or one that I use called Zoho Social. And, you know, use one of these dashboards and automate and set up so that, you know, at least a couple of times a day you're sharing different tweets on Twitter, at least a couple times a day or at least one time a day you're sharing something on Facebook. You really could share more than that. At least one time a day, if you're on Instagram, you're sharing a picture. The key here is for every piece of content that you create, you want to be able to have 3 to 5 different meaningful tweets or social media shares that you can have for that piece of content. So if you create a podcast, you know, maybe you write 5 tweets and those 5 different tweets, each one is, it's not listen to my podcast, right? It's something like, if I'm doing tweets for this episode, you know, maybe it's something like, you know, tips and trends for 2018 for getting your content out, or I'm not sure if that actually fits into 140 characters, but you get the idea, you know, or something like, you know, number one tip for getting heard above the noise. But create interesting social media shares that are thought-provoking, that get people to, you know, not clickbait things, but things that really get people thinking, that make people want to take action, and that, you know, indeed do make them want to click on the links. I think what makes something clickbait versus a really compelling title is that what you promise is what's inside there. To me, what's a clickbait is basically when you promise something that really isn't part of the actual content that they're going to get. And that's when people feel like they've been cheated. But if you share a provocative thought or a quote or a question, and then invite people to come in and listen to your content or watch your content, there's nothing wrong with that, right? They're going to actually feel really good about that, because they're going to feel like, wow, you know, I wanted to learn more about that topic, and now I learn more about it. So very important, I think, that we are constantly sharing in multiple ways, and we're using all different mediums to do that, right? So you could promote your podcast with a short live stream, you could promote your podcast with a written tweet, and you could also use graphics or some type of meme or things like that as well to promote your content. But yeah, I'm definitely seeing that more and more. You know, the irony, of course, is that by saying this, will that then contribute to the noise? And I think one of the things that is important, and this is where I really want to make sure that this is something that I get across very clearly. I think noise, when we create noise, when we create posts that don't add value. So you want to make sure that, you know, if we're creating 3 to 5 posts for a piece of content, that each one of those posts adds some type of value. It could add value in a way that it engages people's curiosity. It could add value in that it gets people to think about something. It could add value in the sense that there's a little aha that people get, right? But the idea is that everything you share adds some value. And I think as long as you're using that metric, I would not worry about, you know, the question of, well, am I going to be bothering people? Am I going to be, you know, putting this out there too many times? I think what's happening more and more is that we're just so busy that if we don't see it over and over again, you know, the chances are if you don't put it out there over and over again, not even that I'm seeing it over and over again, I'm just not going to see it at all. And again, you know, you can't possibly be doing all of this manually. You really have to automate some of this in a way that, you know, just you basically, the more content you create, you just create a bucket where you're constantly sharing and rotating from the most recent content that you've put out to content that may be older. But again, you know, it may be older to you, but even if you put something out a year ago, it may very well still have value to people a year later. Very, very likely that that's the case. Another thing that I think is going to be really important, and this is something that I'm seeing, and I think this has always been, I mean, when I say tips for 2018, I think this is something that, you know, for me has been something that I've built up from the very beginning, is the importance of relationships. That, you know, there were all these SEO tricks and hacks and all these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I think nothing really beats relationships. In fact, I probably will do an entire episode just on relationship building, you know, with your content. But when I say relationship building, there's several ways to think about this. I mean, one is building strategic partnerships with people who already have platform. And this is something that is not necessarily there's not a quick and easy way to do this, especially if you're looking to build up, you know, to build up relationships with people who, let's say, have really, really tremendous platform. Maybe they have tens of thousands of social media followers, right? The question is, how can you develop trusting relationships? And maybe those people lift you up a little bit. You know, maybe they, you know, I'm a big believer, of course, in having relationships with people who are at the same level as you, but especially when you're starting, the value of two people who are just getting started on social media or have minimal following to each other is probably not as great as you would like it to be. So that's where you need someone who's either just a little bit ahead of you, or maybe somebody, like I said, who's a lot ahead of you, who can really blast something out to 35,000 or 40,000 people. But building a relationship like that takes time. And there is no shortcut to trust, because if somebody's going to take a leap for you and maybe they're going to send an email for you, or they're going to send a tweet, or they're going to post something on Facebook, that they're going to share your blog. It takes a certain amount of trust. And how do you build that trust? And I think the best way that I can tell you to build that is to be of service. You know, start from a place of service, and you know, start sharing that person's content. Even if you only have 100 followers on Facebook, then start sharing someone's content. If there's somebody that you really enjoy, that you feel like you're aligned with, make sure that you let them know that you've shared that content. And, you know, send them a screen share. Maybe you can have them on your podcast if they're willing to come onto your podcast as a guest. But whatever you can do, you know, not to suck up to them, but to genuinely develop a relationship. And you can't really speed up. There's a book called The Speed of Trust. You know, you can't speed up trust. So you constantly have to be nurturing relationships with people. You know, one of the things, it's not just people, it's also organizations. But, you know, one of the things that works consistently that I see with my, you know, with my clients is this idea of, you know, when you have organizations or people who are willing to start really opening up their platform for you, that they're willing to step out on the platform. Maybe they have more platform than you, and they're willing to use that platform to give you a leg up. That really makes a difference and can help you to obviously reach more people. So if you're, you know, think about who are the influencers, who are the top influencers in your field, and they may not necessarily be quote unquote famous people. So if you are doing something in the health and wellness field, right? I mean, it may not be the case that you're going after Dr. Oz. It might be someone, maybe you occupy a space in holistic medicine, and there are a few people in the holistic medicine field who are really the people that are most trusted among your ideal listeners or your ideal readers or ideal viewers. And what you need to do is really develop that relationship with those people so that, you know, you can find your way in. What I like to do when I'm working with clients is figure out in whatever world, because I work across different verticals. You know, I do podcasts for dental, I do podcasts for insurance, for nonprofits, all different types of verticals. And so what I like to do is get a sense of who are the top players in this specific field. So if I'm a listener, if I'm the ideal listener to this podcast, so, you know, for example, if it's podcasting, because I produce podcasts, yeah, I'm thinking about, okay, if I'm an ideal listener, what books am I reading? What blogs am I going to? And again, a lot of times those people aren't necessarily, you know, A-list Tom Cruise people. They're not people that you and I might have heard of, but in their world, in their field, they're at the top of their profession. And then the question becomes, how can we develop and nurture relationships with those people? Not in a manipulative way, right? In an authentic way. Because if you do this in a way that's manipulative, it's not going to work. I mean, if you approach people, and unfortunately, a lot of times people approach people in a way that, you know, right from the beginning, they say, I mean, people do this to me and they say, you know, I have a book. I want you to have me on your podcast. I wrote a book. I finished a book. Have me on your podcast. And although I'd love to do that, you know, and I have several podcasts, it's not always possible for me to do that. And you haven't really, you know, we're all so busy and you haven't really articulated, well, what are you going to offer my listeners? What value are you going to bring, right, to the table? And so it's really important that we come from a place of service. We come from a place of asking yourself that question, how can I add value? And I believe more and more that this is, I think, one of the best ways to go, unless you have a ton of money to spend and you can start just bombarding your social media with, you know, SEO, and you can do, you know, Facebook like campaigns for, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. This is a really great way. And in a way, I don't think you can buy the kind of trust that you get when you align yourself with leaders in your field, right? Because, I mean, you can build a social media following through, you know, through doing likes campaigns. I mean, Facebook will definitely let you do that. They'll let you spend money on building up your social media. They'll let you boost your posts. They'll let you run ads, and it can become pretty pricey very quickly. But you can't buy the kind of credibility that comes from someone who is already a trusted expert saying, you know, check this person out, look at what they have to offer. It's really important. So a lot of times we're so focused and we're so busy on creating the content that we forget about this piece about relationships. And that brings me to another piece that I think is definitely again, this is my perspective. It's not the absolute truth by any means, but this is my perspective and what I see working and not working for clients. And I think one of the things that I notice my clients doing is taking a step back from content creation, looking at how can I step out of creating my content and how can I really step into the strategy and relationship and sharing piece of it. So that, you know, I noticed that when, for example, when podcasts first came out, everybody wanted to learn how to create a podcast and do a podcast themselves. What I'm noticing now, the same thing with video or other things, certainly there are some things that you could do yourself, but more and more, you know, I tell people like, why are you going to edit your own podcasts? It really doesn't make sense. Just outsource that. Why are you going to edit your own videos? Just outsource that to somebody who's a professional. Because if you get stuck in the weeds on those things, you won't be able to take a step back to really look at, well, what's the point of my sharing this, right? It's usually to build your business, to build your voice, to become a thought leader, to make a change in the world. And if we get stuck in, you know, as Stephen Covey talked about, you know, quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four activities, you know, quadrant two is activities that are important, but not urgent. And I would say that some of the most important, you know, the quadrant two activities in content creation really are, you know, connecting with your ideal clients, what the content is, deliver, you know, focusing on great content delivery, I think is a really good one. But to get lost in the actual weeds of the, you know, putting the content out there or of, you know, like I said, of video editing or audio editing or even editing your own blog, a lot of times I think you're going to, if you look at the investment of what it takes to get some help with that, it's well worth it because then you can take a step back and free up some time so that you can develop and nurture relationships with influencers so that you can be, you know, making sure that the content is getting automated and shared. It gives you an opportunity to take a step back to focus on what's really important. I also think that due to, again, the idea that at some point, the idea of how do I continue to make sure that I always am providing value, right? That I always have something going. And if you're too busy, stuck in the weeds of editing something, then you're really not going to be able to take a step back and look at the totality of what you're doing to really market and put out your stuff in the world on a consistent basis. So those are just some of the trends that I'm noticing and seeing for 2018. And of course, you know, one of the exciting things about the world, you've heard me talk about evolution, and I'm sure I'm looking forward to all kinds of evolutions. And I definitely don't pretend that I have all the answers. So I'm curious from you, if there are things that are really working for you, let me know what they are. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is DougForesta@gmail.com, DougForesta@gmail.com. But more and more, I think, you know, people will always read books. There will always be people that like long form content. But I think, you know, sort of as we wrap up here, I think this idea of consistently putting out short, digestible pieces of content that then lead people into longer pieces of content, I think is going to be a really important one. And I think people are just going to have to see us over and over again before we're able to break through that noise. And again, when I look back and I think about, you know, how, I mean, think about, you know, thousands of episodes later, and I look and say, okay, how is the world, how is the ecosystem different today? I definitely know that the, you know, the way it was in the mid 2000s to now, there's just so much more. There are so many more people who've signed up online. There are so many more people that have polarized views. We're much more familiar with social media. It's not a novelty now. It is the primary way that we sort of take in and share content. And that is something that has changed really just enormously. And so I don't think that, you know, for those of us, if you're somebody who's been doing podcasting or you've been doing blogging or anything like that for a long time, you know, there's that saying, you know, what got you here won't get you there. And I really think that we need to look at this and say, okay, strategically, what is my plan for the next year to reach another 100 people, to reach another 200 people, to reach 300, 400? And remember, you know, why do you want to reach these people? Because you can touch their lives, right? And I've always said that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to share our voice with the world, but we have to be strategic and we have to figure out what's working and not working And, you know, it is our responsibility. If we keep doing the things that we've been doing, you know, if we stay stuck in, let's say, you know, editing audio and getting stuck in editing audio so that we don't have the time to take a step back and start automating some of our stuff and getting it out there consistently, then we really are doing the world a disservice. We might feel as if we're fully utilizing our voice and fully putting our voice out in the world, but we're missing something, right? We're missing a piece. So the good part is there are so many opportunities now, more than ever. Anyone, you can build a platform. Anyone can build a platform. Anyone can develop a community that you will change their lives for the better. So as always, thank you so much for listening to this. I hope you found it helpful. Keep creating. The world needs your voice. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta on Creating Change.